you can recall the Israelites who were in over 400 years of bondage in Egypt. And if you have read the book of Exodus, and even going back before in the book of Genesis, the latter part, you will realize that the Israelites had a really torrid time under Pharaoh. The Bible tells us, though, that they were delivered, as you know very well, that after 10 plagues by the Almighty God, that Pharaoh finally released the Israelites. And the Israelites were ecstatic. They were overjoyed about their newfound liberty. They had never been free before, because this generation had not known about freedom 400 years. And so they were overjoyed, as you can imagine. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Now, why were they ecstatic? If you look at Exodus chapter 14 and verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." So they saw what God had done. And now they were overjoyed, and they were ecstatic, because they were now experiencing great freedom. But then when you look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of the place was called Marah." Verse 24, "And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?" Now, I'm giving you that to let you know that just a few days earlier, these people had seen God's mighty work. They had seen plague after plague, God's miraculous work. They had seen the Red Sea being parted by God. And they were ecstatic and joyful then. But it took only a matter of 3 days before they began to complain. Because the Bible says that they were complaining because there was no water to drink, or the water was bitter, not remembering that the same God who had brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea was still their God. Amen. And it was only a matter of time before they began to complain again. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm trying to tell you this, my friend, that it did not take long, and it does not take long, for many of us to complain about what we do not have, not remembering what God has blessed us with. I want us to understand something else here. It is the same with us. Look at this here. The Israelites came out of Egypt and they were all overjoyed. And in a matter of days, they were now complaining. Isn't it the same with us?
Amen.
In that, you know, we can, a lot of times you buy something that is new. And when it is new, we protect it and we shine it, because we like that sheen and that new car smell, if you know what I mean. We like a new home, and we're overjoyed about the new home that we have acquired. A new career. We're extremely happy about a new career because of what we think it holds, at least futuristically. But then as time goes on, that new car loses its sheen, loses its smell, and we are no longer so protective of it. If it gets a scratch, then so be it for many of us. A new home is just the same. A new career, after a while, the sheen, so to speak, on these things will fade away. And then we no longer become so captivated by these things. I'm saying this to get to this particular point this morning, that when we started our Christian life, many of us, if not all of us, were extremely overjoyed about this newfound life in Christ. We were happy. And even at that time, many of us have said, well, listen, I will serve the Lord until the day I die. Because we were bubbling with joy. Because, you know, that's understandable. The Ethiopian eunuch, when he was baptized by Philip, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, the Bible says, after he was baptized, the Bible says that Ethiopian eunuch got up and went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he has now found a new life in Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 2, do you remember the Bible tells us that 3,000 souls were baptized on that day? Mm-hmm. If you look at verse 44 of Acts chapter 2, listen to what the Bible says.
And all that believed went together.
Yes.
And had all things common.
No, so here it is. They were very dedicated, they believed, and they had all things in common. In verse 46, it says what?
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
These people were overjoyed. They were devoted. They were dedicated. And in verse 47, it says what?
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
So they continued, the Bible says, praising God. These were people who had found a new life in Christ. But as time passes by, for many of us, that feeling of joy and zeal oftentimes fade away. There comes a time when our new life in Christ no longer feels that new anymore. If anything, it feels old. Churches likewise lose their zeal that they once had. And so this morning, I want to examine what Paul says about our new life in Christ. And I appreciate Brother Hardy reading that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and especially verse 17, because Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Notice how he began that verse, especially verse 17. He says, if any man, first of all, if any man, that's my first point this morning. If any man, in other words, I want us to understand that under this new covenant, it is no longer about one particular group of people. Mm-hmm. Unlike the Old Testament, when the Jews were the only ones who were considered God's people, under this covenant, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, and the book of Hebrews tells us that under the new law of Christ, we have several reasons to rejoice because we are under a better system. In Hebrews chapter 7, for example, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, it tells us that because the old law was changed, then there needed to be a change in the Levitical priesthood. What does it say?
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
So therefore, Christ now becomes our priest, no longer the old priest under the Old Testament system that had to be changed regularly. Christ is our priest once and for all. But the Bible tells us not only that, but in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it tells us that we are under a better system. Read from my brother.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry.
So we're under a better ministry, yes?
By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant.
A better covenant.
Which was established upon better promises.
Better promises. So here it is, a better covenant, a better mediator, a better ministry, better promises. And the Bible also tells us later on in the book of Hebrews that we also have a better sacrifice, unlike the sacrifices under the old law. So my point is this. That under the new law of Christ, the Bible tells us that we are under a better system. But watch this now. Watch this. Under this system, it means that it is not just the Israelites who were included in this system, but every single person. That is why Paul says, if any man be in Christ. He didn't say if any Jew. But if any man, it doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Gentile, male or female, black or white, it doesn't matter who a man is, if any man be in Christ, and that's because any man can be in Christ. In Acts chapter 10, for example, in Acts the 10th chapter, do you remember when Peter had that conversation with Cornelius, but he had that vision, and in that vision, God said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat of all these animals. Do you remember what Peter concluded from that incident? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says what?
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I have perceived, that God is no respecter of persons.
Oh, in other words, Peter, don't specialize in what you want to eat. This is a lesson for you, Peter, that God respects no one particular person. In other words, everyone can be a part of God's kingdom under this better system that we are. And this is a fulfillment of prophecies. Because in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible tells us that all nations would flow into the kingdom of God. Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, but all nations would flow into that kingdom, which was supposed to be established centuries later. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. In other words, it does not matter who the person is. As long as he's willing to obey the gospel, the Bible says, let him come. Matthew chapter 6, 24, Jesus Christ says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. In other words, whoever the person is, if anyone desires to come after me, he says. And my point is, what a joy it is to know that we're living under a system that does not specialize in any particular group of people, doesn't specialize in any particular race. No, the Bible tells us, as we have seen, that under this new covenant, under this new law, any man and every man can become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. I want you to stay with me this morning. Just stay with me, please. Because if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul didn't stop there. He says, if any man be in Christ. Did you know that the phrase in Christ has appeared about 169 times in the New Testament? Especially in the epistles? 169 times. Why? Well, obviously, the Bible wants us to understand the emphasis that is being placed on the state of being. To be in Christ is a very important position to be in. And the one who's in Christ, the Bible tells us that he's a new creature. And that means that he has a new perspective on life. Now, this is interesting. A new perspective on life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul said something that was quite useful for us to hold close to our hearts. Philippians 1 and verse 21, listen to what Paul says.
For to me, to live is Christ,
yes,
and to die is gain.
In other words, Paul had a new perspective on life. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What am I living for? He's obviously saying, I'm living for Jesus Christ. Because as a new creature in Christ, he says, I have a new perspective on life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verses 12 through 13, Paul is now going to tell us that not only does he have a new perspective on life, but he has a new quality of life. What does it say?
And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord,
yes,
who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful,
yes,
putting me into the ministry.
Read on.
Who was before a blasphemer.
I was before a what?
A blasphemer.
A blasphemer.
And a persecutor.
A persecutor.
And injurious.
An injurious.
But I obtained mercy.
But I obtained mercy, yes.
Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
So Paul really wants us to understand where he's coming from and how Jesus Christ elevated him to be in the ministry. He had a better quality of life now that he is in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul even went farther to elaborate on that quality of life. Paul tells us in Galatians, the second chapter and verse 20, listen what he says here.
I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yes.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Paul says, the quality of my life is far different from what it was before. The old life has been crucified. The old Saul lives here no longer. He says, but Christ, it is Christ who lives in me. Any man who is in Christ, he has a new quality of life. That's what he's saying here. But hey, listen to this now. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, he tells us that his priorities are no different. You know, it's amazing what we place priorities on. But Paul wants us to understand what our priorities ought to be now that we are in Christ. Read on.
Well, what things were gained to me, mm-hmm. those I counted loss for Christ.
For the things that I considered very important to me before, now that I'm in Christ, these things are no longer important to me. These things, it says, I have counted loss. I've given up on these things for the cause of Christ. Why? Because he's now in Christ Jesus. This new way of living happens only because we have been born again in Christ Jesus. Paul did tell us that there are special blessings when a man is in Christ. Special blessings. You know, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So spiritual blessings are found only in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7, for example, of Ephesians chapter 1. What does it say?
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
In Christ we have what?
Redemption.
Redemption.
Through his blood.
Through his blood. So we know that one of the blessings we have being in Christ is redemption. Read on, my friend.
The forgiveness of sins.
Also, the forgiveness of sins. So we have redemption through his blood, and we also have forgiveness of sins. That tells me that when a man is in Christ, he has access to these blessings. In verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, what does it say? Verse 11.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
In Christ we have obtained what?
An inheritance.
An inheritance. Again, what I want us to understand are the blessings that we have now that we are in Christ. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I'm saying all of these things to let us understand this. You know, when someone asks you, are you a new Christian? For many of us, we say, no, I've been a Christian for the last 10 years or 20 years, whatever. And in one sense, that may be so. But in another sense, all of us are new Christians. All of us are new Christians. What am I really saying here? Because, you know, when Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That newness is not something that fades away. It is something that continues until the day he dies. Amen. Because our life in Christ is new compared to the old life that we live. As long as we are Christians, we are new Christians because we're living a new life compared to what we're coming from. I want us to understand this. Christians, and all of us who are Christians, we're likely to lose our zeal. Many of us, if the truth be told, will say, Brother Webster, you're right. I no longer have the zeal for Christ I used to have. I remember the day when I got baptized, I was all fired up. But now I am struggling from day to day. I tend to drag myself to worship. To study the Bible becomes more like a hard work, a tedious chore for many of us. And Paul knew that because Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, he says, and do not be weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. In other words, do not get tired in doing good, because he knew that Christians were susceptible to getting tired of doing that which they ought to be doing and give up. But it says, do not give up. Do not be weary while you're doing good, because if you stay to the end, you shall reap if you faint not. The church in Revelation 2 verse 4, there was a church, you know, Revelation was written to seven churches of Asia Minor. And one of them was the church in Ephesus. And listen what Jesus Christ said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 and verse 4. What does it say?
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against
you. I have something against you. Notwithstanding all the good things you have been doing, there's something I have against you. Read on.
Because thou hast left.
Thou hast left.
Thy first love.
Thy first love. I hear that. Thou hast left thy first love. And remember, when they started out, no doubt they were very, very overjoyed about their love for Jesus Christ. But now the Bible says that they had left their first love. Can you recall? Can your minds go back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when you became a child of God, and how overjoyed you were? How you wanted to read as much as possible so that you can learn as much as possible. But now that sheen is no longer there. And now Christianity is almost like a sentence. You have been sentenced to bondage. You have been sentenced to punishment. And that's how many of us have seen, because Christianity for many of us no longer has that sheen that it once had. And because of that, there are many who have been baptized, who had been baptized, who have given up the faith. They have backslidden because they no longer had that joy going to church. They no longer, would get up of their own free will and attend worship service. Someone had to give them a call and prod them and push them and beg them. And whenever you get to that state, then you know something is seriously wrong. Seriously wrong. And it's only a matter of time, if they have not done it already, before these folks give up the best life that can ever be lived. And that is a life in Christ, a new life in Christ. Happily, this morning, God has put provisions in place for all of us, because God knew that we would, after a while, lose that zeal that we once had. God knew that after a while, many of us would struggle even to open our Bibles to study. God knew that for many of us, praying would be something that is far from us, no longer part of our lives. God knew that. So God has put provisions in place to make sure that the new life in Christ continues to remain new. No, God has put the provisions in place, but it is now for us to take advantage of those provisions. If you don't, many of us will continually be struggling with our Christianity, if not all of us. So let's dive deeper into it. The word renewed from the Greek means to make anew, to refresh, to reinvigorate. That's what the word renewed here means. And I want us to understand that. Now, how on earth can a child of God who is struggling to be faithful, struggling to be zealous, struggling to read his Bible or her Bible, how can a child of God once again be reinvigorated when it comes to serving God? Well, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And I want my brother to read for me verses 9 and 10. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 9 and 10. And listen to what Paul says here.
Lie not one to another.
Yes.
Saying that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Okay, no. So we have put off the old man when we became Christians. Mm-hmm. That's the old way of life, Brother Taylor.
Amen.
With its deeds, yes.
And have put on the new man,
mm-hmm.
which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
So the new man is, look at this now, renewed in what?
Knowledge.
In knowledge. And what Paul is saying is that the more we study the scriptures and apply scriptures to our lives, is the more our knowledge for what we ought to do so that we can remain fresh and new in Christ is that we apply the scriptures to our lives. We cannot just read and that's it. We must read and apply. But our knowledge must be renewed. You can't just read, my friend. You must read and reread. You know, there's some folks, as soon as you announce a particular passage, they close the Bible because they already know it and they've heard it before. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Peter told the Christians that he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse 12 and look at what Peter told these Christians that is applicable to all of us. What does it say?
Wherefore,
yes,
I will not be negligent.
I will not be what?
Negligent.
Negligent.
To put you always in remembrance of
these things. To remind you always of what?
These things.
These things.
Though you know them.
Though you know them.
And be established in your present truth.
That's, you know, in other words, he's saying, I will not neglect from reminding you of those things that you already know, so that you can be established in them. You know, the thing about it is that when they talk about the one church, to many Christians, they've heard it all before, so they feel like you're talking to the next man and not to them.
Amen.
When they talk about salvation, and that is why sometimes after a period of time, many Christians really cannot present a good teaching on why they believe in the one church, on the plan of salvation, because they are not being renewed in knowledge. How on earth are we going to remain new in Christ? Our knowledge must be renewed. It begins with our knowledge, and that is so important, my dear brothers and sisters. The more we read and reread and study again, is the more our knowledge is being made afresh. He wants us to understand. But watch this now, watch this. In Romans chapter 12, Romans the 12th chapter, when we read the scriptures, when we read the scriptures, when the preacher is presenting and you're writing down all these passages, listen what it says in verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12.
I beseech you therefore, brethren,
yes,
by the mercies of God,
mm-hmm,
that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice,
yes,
holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable
which
service.
Which is your what?
Reasonable
service. Hear this now, read verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world,
mm-hmm,
but be transformed by the renewing of your
mind. Oh, by the what?
Renewing of
Do
your mind.
Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, yes?
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So when we read and our knowledge is being renewed, then what he's saying is that in essence, what is happening is that our minds are being renewed. Our minds cannot be renewed unless we are imbibing, we are studying God's word so that our minds can be renewed. Now, that's important. That's important. Paul has said this several times. As a matter of fact, Paul gives us a slightly different angle to this very same idea. In Ephesians chapter 4, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 23, and look at how Paul puts it in to the Ephesian Christians. Verse 23, Ephesians 4, verse 23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
And be renewed in what?
The spirit.
The spirit of your mind. Now, the spirit of your mind means in your nature, in your character, in your heart. When we read God's word, it ought to transform our nature. It ought to transform our character. It ought to transform our heart. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So much so that Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, something that must be music to our ears as Christians. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16.
For which cause we faint not,
mm-hmm,
but though our outward man perish,
mm-hmm,
yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
So isn't it a wonderful thing to know? That after a while, yes, we will not be able to avoid those wrinkles on our faces. Mm-hmm. We'll not be able to avoid those gray hairs. We'll not be able to avoid the pain, the arthritis, and the backache, and all these problems as we age. But Paul says, though the outward man perishes, the beauty about being in Christ is that the inward man is being renewed, not yearly, but daily, on a daily basis. It first began by us becoming members of the body of Christ, and then we keep on having our knowledge renewed because we keep on studying God's word. And as we study God's word, our spirit, our minds, our nature are being transformed by the word of God as we study it. And Paul now tells us that our inner man, mm-hmm, on a daily basis is being made afresh, is being made new. It's important, friends. Very, very important. And I think that's how David felt. In Psalm 51, verse 12, when David says, restore to me, O God, the joy of your salvation. David wanted God to take him back to that day when he felt joyous and happy about his salvation.
Amen.
How do you feel right now as a Christian? Do you have to remind yourself sometimes that you are a child of God? Do you find it difficult even to study God's word? To even to carry Bible with you. What about praying? To talk to God in prayer about what you're going through and what your plans are. Are those things a burden? No. And here, Paul is saying, it begins by us, first of all, having our knowledge renewed. You cannot read the Bible once in a blue moon. It doesn't work like that. Our knowledge will never be renewed, resulting in our spirits being renewed, resulting in now our actions being renewed. Because a renewed mind will now result in renewed actions. And I want us to hear this one now. A renewed mind will result in renewed actions. Remember, we have also often said it. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, which is the mind, so is he. So whatever the mind has been fed with will sooner or later be transformed into actions. Did you know that? So if we can filter what goes into the mind, then we can guard more than likely what actions we are engaged in. But you watch, my friend. Christians who don't have an appetite for God's word will sooner or later give up the faith and backslide. When there's no longer a pep in their step in going to church. When you attend church only because you don't want anyone to call you, then that's a serious problem. David said, I was glad when they said to me, come, let us go up in the house of the Lord. Worship service for the man who has been renewed is no longer a drab, but something he finds a joy in doing. Why? Because God has been so good to him. He cannot wait to get back to worship service to worship the Almighty God. Cannot wait. You know, there's a song that we sing sometimes. It says, when we are sundered apart, it gives us inward pain. In other words, Christians enjoy being with each other. And when we have to separate, it gives us inward pain because we know that we gain strength from each other when we are together. We are able to encourage each other and learn from each other. That is why it gives us pain when we have to separate. It does. But for those who don't even like to be in the presence of fellow Christians, no, there's a serious problem right there. Studying God's word should no longer be a tedious chore. Praying to God should no longer feel meaningless. But as you are affected by the issues of life, the first thing you do as a renewed man is to not to go to Mary Jane, Tom, Dick, and Harry, but to go to God in prayer about those things that are affecting you. Because our Father wants to hear from us. You know, there's a song we sing, and the song says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. A lot of problems that we have come as a result of our own fault. We fail to take these things to God in prayer. We complain here, we complain there, but we never ever go to our God and pour our hearts out to him in prayer. Paul says we must be renewed in knowledge. And if you look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, Colossians 3 verse 16, a passage that many of us know, but I think we often overlook the first part of that passage. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, when it comes to the word, listen what Paul says.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Dwell in you how?
Richly.
So let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now remember back in verse 10, he talked about being renewed in knowledge of chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Now in verse 16, he says, let that word that is designed to renew us regularly dwell in us how? Richly. That's what he says. It is no wonder then that if what goes into our minds must be very, very important, it is no wonder why the wise man tells us in Proverbs 4 and verse 23 to guard our hearts with all diligence. For out of it, out of our hearts or minds, flow the issues of life. What we do is as a result of our heart. Our heart is as a result of what went into it. What went into it depends on the source that you went to. And many Christians will never ever feel like they are new in Christ, even though God has put the provisions in place for us to feel new. How long have you been a Christian? Well, 20 years. But guess what? I'm still a new Christian. A new quality of life. A new perspective on life. New priorities. New way of doing things. In other words, now that we're in Christ, we're still being renewed. I don't know where you stand this morning. But perhaps you're one of those members who have struggled to feel a sense of joy about your salvation. Maybe you're wishing that you can recapture the joy that you once had. That just like the Ethiopian eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Wouldn't it be nice if we can rejoice each day? Not because we have gotten a promotion at work, but that because we are in Christ. So someone asks you, how are you doing? You ought to say, well, I'm on top of the world. Why? Because I am a new person in Christ. Our rhetoric must change, or else we will always be considering ourselves old Christians in Christ, in which our lives have no sheen, and we're struggling from day to day. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, my prayer is that this message will encourage you to give your life over to Christ, because then and only then can you be recreated, where the old things will eventually pass away and all things become new. But you must hear the word of God, as you have heard it this morning, but you must believe it, as you're seeing right there on the screen, because Jesus Christ says, except you believe in me, you shall die in your sins. And belief brings faith. The more you hear God's word and believe it, then that's where you gain faith. Romans 10, verse 17. You must be willing to repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of mind. No longer doing the things that you're doing. But you have decided to make that about turn and go back to God, not away from God. Luke 13, verse 3 says, if you don't repent, you shall perish. You must acknowledge or confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's what he says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. But you have got to be baptized in water. Because to be baptized in water, according to the book in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, is to be baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is power in the blood. And as a Christian, maybe you are one of those who are struggling. I pray that this message would have reminded you that there are provisions in place for you to be renewed constantly, daily, by the power of the Almighty God. Let us bow our heads as we pray, please. Father, thank you so much that in your divine power, you saw the weaknesses that many of us would have encountered. I know, Father, that as I speak right now, there are Christians right across this world, in this country, in this state, but across the entire world, who are struggling with their faith. That they no longer feel what they once felt. And like David, Father, I pray that you will restore to all of us the joy of your salvation. Some of us are on the brink of giving up. And the devil is just waiting anxiously and eagerly to welcome us back into his kingdom of wickedness and evil. Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes, all of us as Christians, so that we can see what you have in place for us, and that we will have the will to go after those provisions so that we can feel reinvigorated, recreated on a daily basis as your people. Bless us, Father. It's in the Son's name I pray. Amen.